Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan, always live on the free Odyssey app.
.306. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Still got you for another 2 hours as we roll along until 5 a.m. in the warm-up show. 888-808-1019. A little bit of baseball to start the show, as obviously both of our locals here had miserable nights. The New York Yankees have now just been embarrassingly bad offensively. They have been shut out three consecutive games. The offense is just in an absolute funk. It's 29 consecutive innings, 20 of those, 20, against the L.A. Anaheim Angels, who are as bad a franchise with pitching as you could possibly have in Major League Baseball. And they're throwing out Kyle Hendricks, and he's shutting down the Yankees. It was embarrassing. And going back to that last game of the series, when against Kansas City, where they did win the game 1-0 to sweep the Royals and sweep the season series against the Royals, since then, the offense has just been completely dormant. And I know Judge's slump, here's another thing, we'll love to blame Aaron Boone for, and this one really cracks me up. This all started with giving Aaron Judge a day off. When they gave him a day off the last game of the Kansas City Royals series. Because he has to play 162, otherwise he won't hit 400. If he plays 162, he's going to hit 400. But if you give him a day off, never mind the fact that he gets a day off every week. But I guess that's different. Lunch with the wife, or going to see a movie, or hanging out with the bros, or, you know, kicking back, barbecuing, that's fine. That's okay. If he has a day off and doesn't swing a bat and, you know, in the middle of a hot streak and he goes to the mall, that's not a problem. If he goes has barbecue in Kansas City, not a problem. But if he sits there on the bench and watches his teammates play, clearly it's going to send him off into the worst stretch of the season. I mean, what was Aaron Boone thinking, giving this guy a day off? I mean, it's just ridiculous. I don't understand what he's thinking. Can you imagine not forcing this guy who, you know, if he ever goes down, would be just absolutely devastating to this team? Can you imagine not just making him play every single day and giving him one day off in the entire first half of the season? Can you imagine the stupidity? And then it leads to this stretch? I mean, good grief. I mean, it's unbelievable. I know he has a day off once a week, but that extra day, right in the middle of a hot streak? Oof. I mean, what else could this guy do to ruin the team? I mean, it's like he's actively trying to ruin the team, this Boone. What a buffoon. It's unbelievable. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Steve in Rockland. What's up, Steve?
You know, Chris, I'm right there with you with the facetiousness. I mean, you're firing Boone. Why don't we trade Judge while we're at it? You know, I mean, you know, I'm wondering if he would actually get down to 350, if there's what the outcry is going to be. And, you know, I really think that it's this vocal minority, you know, that's responsible for this type of stuff. Because, look, you get to the World, you know, they got to the World Series last year, and I said, okay, you're in the World Series, players play, it's time to praise the front office and Cashman, okay, for getting back, mm-hmm. All right? And now you've got to get out of the way, all right? Because there's only one person, you know, and let's face it, if you're a Yankee fan, what was it, the fifth inning? Last year, was it the fifth or the sixth?
Yeah,
whatever
on the
it
World
was.
Series, fifth inning.
Baseball PTSD
yeah.
for a while. All right. I mean, you know, it's like if you have a nightmare and you're a Yankee fan, you know, Judge dropping that soft liner is, you know, that's when you jump up in a cold sweat out of your sleep.
No, listen, that,
you know, that's what shows you.
And Judge in particular, and thank you for the call, Steve, that Judge in particular, it's not even just his offensive struggles, it's that play too. Judge has a lot to overcome when it comes to the postseason, there's no doubt. I've never, you know, I think he's the greatest hitter on the planet. I think he's one of the best hitters ever. I think you can still have that designation even if you don't dominate in the postseason. I eventually think he will at some point, and hopefully that's this year. But there's no doubt he's going to have to overcome that World Series. His performance offensively in it and then dropping the ball in center field. It's just he's going to have to win a championship, or that's going to be part of his legacy. A major part of his legacy, especially if he doesn't win a championship, is going to be his performance in the playoffs in 22 against the Astros and his performance last year in the playoffs while Juan Soto and Stanton carried them to the World Series. And then he didn't hit until game 4 of the World Series. And he drops the pop-up that starts the inning that could quite possibly be the worst inning in the history of the franchise. That's something he's going to have to overcome. And we'll see how he performs in the postseason this year because, you know, make no mistake, they're going to the postseason. They're going to win this division. The Yankees are going to win the division. Everybody needs to calm down. They're going to win the division. They have to start hitting. John in Maspeth. What's up, John?
Hey, so the Yankees are going to win a division, but how do you feel about the Mets in their division, man? You think the Mets are going to be able to hold down their division in the long term?
I think I'm less inclined to say the Mets are going to win the division, and it's not because I'm less inclined to tell you the Mets are a good team. I think Philadelphia is more of a threat than anything the Yankees have in their division. So that's why I'd be less inclined to just say it, but I do think I think the Mets are better than the Phillies, and I think they should win the division.
But I think the Mets are dealing with some obstacles that the Phillies aren't, such as Senga's injury. You got Clay Holmes. You know, this guy's already, you know, 20 innings past his career high, and there's still 90 games left, you know, and I wonder how they're going to deal with that. And I don't know. It just seems like the Mets don't really have a way out unless they trade away some of their prospects at the trade deadline. Man, all of a sudden, the pitching depth is...
Yeah, the pitching depth is taking a hit with the McGill injury and the Kodai Senga injury. And the idea that Manaea and Montas have not performed all that well. I don't know how much you put into that, their rehab. And it sounds like they're not going to be the ones who take the start on Friday. But can I ask you a question, John?
Go ahead.
Was it always the Mets, or did it change for you when Soto went there? Or was it always the Mets as the team that you couldn't stand?
You know, it wasn't the fact that when Soto went there. It's the fact that Soto is lying about why he went there.
Okay.
You know, he's saying, oh, the whole family aspect, I like the outlook of the Mets. No, just come out and be honest and just say the money and the perks. I came here because I got an extra $15 million, and I came here because Steve Cohen bent over and gave my mom the plane, the allowance, the security. Just come out and be honest about it, you know? Don't be saying, oh, I like the outlook of the Mets. You know, I think they're going to win a World Series. No, you just went to the World Series with the Yankees. What better outlook is there than going back to the team that you just made a World Series with that has two first ballot Hall of Famers on the team already? Come on.
Don't be lying to us.
We're not stupid.
John, I don't disagree with a lot of what you said, especially that part about picking the Yankee success is where I would have gone. That's fine. But I'm just asking you, have you always hated the Mets, or did whatever your opinion of Juan Soto?
Because, you know, I'm in a group chat with a bunch of friends, and there's a bunch of Mets fans in there. And, you know, every time the Yankees lost last year to the Mets in the Subway Series, You never heard the end of it, you know? So, all listen.
Right. I get
anytime
it.
The Yankees get one up on the Mets, I'm taking full advantage. Anytime the Mets take one step down, I'm taking full advantage of it, you know? And you hear about it a lot from Mets fans, and, you know, now they're actually somewhat at the big boy table, you know, even though the Yankees are still at the head of the table. Just the Mets just graduated from the kids table to the big boy table, but mm-hmm. you know, now we gotta take them seriously a bit. So, you know, in the years past, never really took them that serious, but now we gotta take them serious. But even when we do take them serious, now they're still kind of a joke.
Well, I don't know if they're a joke right now. They had an ugly loss last night. They've lost four in a row. Yankees have lost five in a row. Right now, let's be totally honest. Who's the more of a joke at the moment? The New York Yankees are the bigger joke. I don't know how you could not say that. They haven't scored. They don't score runs. Mets had a tough loss. Yankees don't score runs right now. It's the Yankees are the joke at the moment. We'll see how long that lasts. I do expect the Yankee lineup to get it going. And I guess that's just where I'm surprised. I don't have that same hatred for the Mets. I just don't. I know people. There's one guy on Twitter who assumes thinks I love bashing the Mets, and that's what this show has become. Like, it's crazy to me. You guys hear whatever you want. Last night was a frustrating loss. And they made a lot of mistakes.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
But this Yankee offense, and this is where, you know, I just differ. I'm not overly concerned about it. I'm just not. It's so bad that it's just ridiculous. I mean, not going to be this bad. It's so pathetic and so anemic and so putrid that I just, you know, it's almost like it's overload. And I'm just like, all right, when is this going to end? Hopefully it's tomorrow. Because it's not real almost. It's so bad that it's not real. Like, if they just had a couple of bad games, like if Devin Williams blew some leads, if, like, they just went on a 5-game losing streak and a lot of different things happened, I'd probably be almost even more upset. This is so just out of the norm of what this team has been and so dramatically, historically bad that it's almost, in a way, easier to kind of just brush away because you're like, well, this is just one of the crazier things that we've seen. And they're just on this, everyone's ice cold. And it's not, you know, it's not like, again, I know they had some bad plays in Boston. Don't get me wrong, they did. And we talked about them, and I really don't think they've been a problem for this team this year. They just haven't. This team has not been like other teams. This team is far better defensively. This team is far better on the base paths. I mean, the Yankees do have an issue right now at second base and DJ LeMahieu. He had terrible at-bats in this game. He's been better offensively, but last night defensively, we started to see some range a little bit more and a little bit better over the last couple games, but in this game, he has a ball that he just has to make a play on. There's no two ways around it. I don't know how that ground ball from Rengifo gets through and scores the first run of the game, and that was it. That's all they needed. So I still think they're out in the market for another infielder come the trade deadline. They're clearly going to be in the market for a reliever, and they might even be in the market for a back end of the rotation starter. We'll see. But as this is going along, like the one positive is they've pitched well. Clark Schmidt pitched really well. That's a good sign for the Yankees. Will Warren pitched really well in this game. That's a good sign for the Yankees. Max Fried continued to do his thing. And now, you know, you got, was it tomorrow, Ryan Yarbrough? They're going to have to, you got Ryan Yarbrough and Rodon to finish out this series. You need them to be good because right now I don't know where the offense is coming from. But again, this is where I differ. And people are like, oh, you're a shill. I don't understand. Why can't you just tell it like it is? I'm telling it like it is. The offense sucks for the last five games. The offense sucks. But I don't. I'm just different where I don't put the last five games in some sort of, you know, higher standard than the first 68. I don't put the last five games into some, you know, upper echelon where this is the real Yankees and it tells us all we need to know, and they'll never win with Aaron Boone and they'll never win with this team, and they, you know, they won't win until Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone are gone, because look at these last five games. Like, I don't do that. I look at, what about the first 68? What about all of us praising Aaron Boone and never praising Aaron Boone. God forbid we do that. Praising Brian Cashman for the pivot. And it wasn't just me. Everyone was. Look what they were able to do. This offense leading the world in everything. All these guys up and down the lineup. Bellinger having a big year for a stretch after a slow start. Goldschmidt signing him and what he's meant to this team. Rice. Grisham. Like, they put together an offense that was more dynamic, more young, more athletic, better defensively. Moving parts helped to have a better bench, and now with Stanback, they certainly have a better bench. Last night, Grisham and Rice are on the bench. That's a good bench. That's a good bench. Those are good left-handed options. And if Goldschmidt's on the bench or Stan's on the bench, you've got good right-handed, left-handed options for pinch hitting. That's a good bench. You know, Grisham's good defensively. So, and that's the other thing that, you know, as we look across to the Boston Red Sox, and Devers has now gone, played in, for the Giants, talked about he's willing to play anywhere for them. He'll play first base. He'll play third base. It doesn't matter. He'll DH. He'll do whatever is needed for the San Francisco Giants. There are reports coming out that I saw. And again, I don't know them to be 100% true. We never do. So that's why I'm calling them reports. But there are reports that Devers just wanted to be, if he was going to play first, he said, okay, I'll play first. But stop messing with me. Now I'm the first baseman. That's it. It's not next year when someone else is healthy, I'm moving off the first base. Like, now I'm the, make me the first baseman. Don't mess me around. Don't move me around. I'm the first baseman, and let's go make me the first baseman if you don't like me at third. And that wasn't good enough for the Red Sox. So, like, let me just say, right now Aaron Boone is juggling a lot of different pieces. Aaron Boone is benching guys like Goldschmidt, who has an MVP. He's benching guys like Bellinger, who has an MVP. He's got to worry about Dominguez, who's trying to establish himself as a Major League Baseball player. Same thing for Rice. Grisham has played well enough to deserve to be a starter, and we know how good he is defensively. They've got now Giancarlo Stanton coming back, who's been with this team forever, borderline Hall of Famer, MVP, best postseason player they have and by a mile. And he's going to have to juggle all throughout the lineup when they play, when they don't play. You're going to have MVPs sitting on the bench. Guys who are having good years having to sit on the bench and not play every day. And we haven't heard a peep, not a problem, not a single thing, not a single player unhappy, not a single squabble, not a single anything of unhappiness, not a single report, not a John Heyman, I've heard Goldschmidt isn't happy, not a single thing from any of these guys who have warranted being playing every single day. And yet this manager has been juggling them to the best offense in baseball before these last five games. And we haven't heard a word of discontent. We haven't heard a single player complain about his time playing, his playing time, or anything other. Anything other but, yes, I'll play wherever you need me to play. From Jazz Chisholm. That's all we've heard. If you think that's easy in the New York market to have everything be as copacetic as it's been with this team, it's not. It's not. You got Josh Donaldson coming in, all the problems he's had with other teammates. He had the thing with another opponent with the White Sox, but other than that, he's bad-mouthing Gerrit Cole, calling him a cheater before he came here. Nothing. Nothing. Now, he didn't play very well, but did it cause a problem in the clubhouse? Not a single thing. Just saying. In today's day and age, that's a lot of being a manager. With this generation of players, that constantly demand trades and constantly upset, constantly complaining about this and constantly complaining about that, you don't hear a peep from the New York Yankees. Not a peep. But hey, they didn't play well in the World Series, so let's fire his ass.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite teams here on The Fan.
All right, 3:31. McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. It's been a baseball show. As we await the Nick head coaching search, as they are talking to Taylor Jenkins, they're going to talk to Mike Brown. We're waiting to see who else is on the list. Obviously, last night, congratulations again to the Florida Panthers as they have won back-to-back. You know, it's funny. Back-to-back, let me finish the thought before I go to the next one. Back-to-back Stanley Cup championships as they beat the Edmonton Oilers in six. They are a force in this postseason. It is something to watch. The Marchand trade, just they have done an incredible job in these playoffs. You know, it's funny too because it's like, you know, baseball's kind of the one sport where this doesn't happen anymore. We have not had a repeat champion since the Yankees in 2000. We'll see if the Dodgers are able to pull it off this year, but we haven't had a repeat champion in 25 years. But it feels like there's, and everyone, you know, the NHL playoffs, they're so tough, the NHL playoffs, and they are, they're grueling. But, right, we had Tampa win back-to-back, Florida's won back-to-back. We all see what Kansas City does year in and year out in the NFL. They just missed the three-peat, but have gone to three straight Super Bowls. He's already won, you know, several. Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes have won three Super Bowls already. The NBA, obviously we have plenty of dynasties. It's been a while now since we've had back-to-back champions in the NBA. Trying to think. Golden State, right? Probably the last Golden State with KD. That's going back a handful of years. But baseball, we just don't see it. There is parity in baseball. It is hard, hard to win in the Major League Baseball playoffs. Eric and Ron Konkoma. What's up, Eric?
Hey, good morning, C-Mac.
Good morning, brother. How are you?
Good, good. Yeah, just to touch on that real quick, it's crazy how the Stanley Cup championships have run through Florida for the last 6 years, even if they didn't win every one of them.
I know, amazing.
I mean, that's just...
No, I mean, listen, if you think about it, Florida's kind of like right now is title town. They got all the Stanley Cups we just mentioned. The Bucks won the Super Bowl with Tom Brady not too long ago. Like it's been, they've won a lot of championships. I heard Keith talking about it a little bit before. We can't get a damn parade around here. Florida's getting one every time you turn around.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Look, I just got to touch I tuned in just as John was finishing his little rant. That, you know,
yes.
Look, not for nothing. I you know, it's no secret I'm a Mets fan, but boy, I tell you, I don't understand. And this doesn't go for everybody, but I don't understand the insecurity of some of these freaking Yankee fans.
Mm-hmm.
That just, I mean, for 30 years, you guys have been the talk of everything, right? I mean, seriously, mm-hmm. with how good they've been, you can't argue that. I mean, I'm a Mets fan, and I recognize that.
Right.
I mean, it drives me nuts, you know, whenever they play each other, just because it's like, oh boy, you know, I mean, most of it's in fun, but,
right.
I mean... But one off season, in the last 30 years, mm-hmm. and something leaned towards the Mets' way, and these guys can't handle it? I mean, it boggles my mind.
No, I get it. But it's I don't disagree with you, but it does work both ways. There are Met fans who will act like the last 30 years you just mentioned, and then one offseason, and suddenly they're the toast of the town. Like,
I agree. Yeah. It's extreme on both ends.
Yes.
But it sounds, that's I'm not defending it, but you're talking a long period of time having to deal with the harassment, so to speak, of the Yankee fan getting on it's such a swing the other way that you could almost understand the browbeating for a period of time, but for such a short sample size of time, it's like why are you letting it bother you that Soto, decided to go? Does it really matter why Soto wanted to go to the Mets? I brought it up to you a couple of months ago. I mean, I would have been, if I was a Yankee fan, I would have been much more upset if he had gone to the Red Sox.
Absolutely.
Because he's in the division.
Oh, of course.
Even the Dodgers. With the way that they made fun of the Yankees after the World Series. Stuff like that. As opposed to the Mets, who they play, prior to this year, they played it four times, and this year they're back to six, unless they mean the World Series. I mean, that's it.
No, I agree with you.
So I just don't. And look, and honestly, it's not even a headline issue anymore because the papers, I deliver papers. I mean, they don't even really exist much anymore.
No.
So, they all get the same airtime as everything else.
Yeah.
So, but I just had to throw that out there.
No, I get. Listen, John's he's definitely on a higher level. I mean, he's driving around City Field trolling Met fans and putting videos out there. John is on another level of the Yankee fan upset about the Juan Soto situation. To me, it's over now. I mean, it's over now. We had the fun of the first Subway Series with him. The Yankee fans booed him the entire three games. I don't know. Like everyone said, this is going to be it forever. I don't know if it's going to be to that level. I mean, he'll get booed when he walks up to the plate a little bit, but the constant boos all series long, I don't know if it'll last like that forever. Maybe the rest, maybe a year or two, but I don't know. But it doesn't matter. It's over. And now it's about Juan Soto's a Met. And honestly, and for the purposes of this show, I'm really done with that. Now it's about how Juan Soto impacts the Mets. And right now he's hot. He had a good game. Except the base running snafu, which again, I have a hard time killing him for. Like, if you watch that play, it's an incredible catch by Acuna. The ball goes all the way to the wall. Even I, with the naked eye, thought when he first makes the catch, I thought he made the catch. And then in my mind, I'm like, you know what? Did it come down and scrape off the wall before going into his glove? Like, I wasn't even sure. And, Soto's kind of, waiting. It's impossible to see. Like, I heard a couple people say, you gotta watch the play. It makes the catch, you gotta go back. Now look, the ball doesn't come bouncing off. You don't see the ball rolling on the ground. You gotta assume it's in his glove. Maybe take a couple of steps towards first. You'd rather be able to get back to first, even if it costs you only turning that into a single and first and second. As frustrating as that would be, it's better than the double play. So on some level, he's gotta get back, but that's kind of just really bad luck. And the umpire is also late with the call, but I don't think he's like egregiously late with the call. It's not like the ball's being thrown back in and we still don't see the arm. I mean, he gave it as quickly as he could possibly give it. So I do think it's a mistake from Soto. It's just one that I don't think is very, it's a tough read. It's a tough play. And that's just bad luck in that spot. But Soto hits the home run to get him started. And you felt like when the Mets do that, right, particularly Lindor. Well, Lindor hits the leadoff home run. You just get this sense of the Mets got this one. There's just something about it when they score in the first inning with these guys. And Soto hits that home run off of the three-game losing streak to the Tampa Bay Rays, off of the lousy weekend for Father's Day weekend. They're coming to play the Atlanta Braves. A lot of noise around the series a little bit, trying to snap a losing streak, trying to, put to bed the idea this building is a tough place for them to come play. The Braves are miserable this year. And boom, Soto hits that home run. You're like, here they go. They got their best pitcher on the mound right now with Senga on the IL. You got Peterson on the mound. He's their best pitcher. He hits that home run and away they go. And then they take the lead. You get the bloop hit from Taylor that I don't know if Acuna isn't running all that well yet. I don't know if Acuna's purposely not running all that well. He got a lousy jump on the ball. It falls in. It scores two runs. Then you get the solo home run from Taylor, and you're up 4-1. Peterson mowing him down. But you do see a little bit of the sloppy baseball. You see Soto picked off of first base. You see Pete Alonso getting, you know, doubled off of first off a line drive to the shortstop. You see Pete Alonso trying to stretch a double and stretch a double from a single, or stretch a single into a double and get thrown out at second base. Like little mistakes like that as they're going along, and the offense really isn't doing anything. And then you get to the eighth inning, and Peterson does the one thing you can't do. He had a great start. And I know you don't want to give Peterson the blame in this game or be frustrated with him, considering he pitched into the eighth inning. He's been great for them as of late, was great in this game. But look, you can't. Your manager and trust you, right? You wanted to go out there for the ninth in the previous start to go that complete game shutout. He let you do that. He's letting you back out for the eighth. You got to reward him with throwing a fastball for a strike on a full count to the nine hitter to lead off the eighth inning. You cannot walk the nine hitter. You cannot. And that's really where this game gets lost. The first real domino that falls, that loses the Mets the game, is walking the nine hitter to lead off the eighth inning. Then Acuna with the base hit. Now you got to bring in Reed Garrett, and he looks like he's going to get out of it. He gets the strikeout. He gets the short fly ball. And then, obviously, him and Alvarez disagree on a pitch. They pick the wrong one, and Azuna laces the line drive down the left field line, and all three runs come to score, and it's a tie game. That's where the game is lost. We could talk about the base running then in the top of the ninth from Soto. I think that's kind of just bad luck. Could he have made a play? Could he have been better on that? I think he could have, but it's hard to kill him for it. That's a tough read. Like, in my mind, if you don't see the ball rolling around, then start to head back to first. I'd rather have first and second and feel like I should have second and third as opposed to having a double play and ending the inning. So you could have played a little bit better, but ultimately tough play. Then you get the Alvarez thrown behind the runner in the bottom of the 10th, which is tough. You got Mendoza not pinch hitting for Young, which felt like an obvious spot to bring in Marte. Like, there was a couple of things in this game that just the manager made a couple of questionable decisions. If you want to get questionable about how he handled the starting pitcher in the eighth inning, clearly not pinch hitting Young for Marte is one that I don't agree with. And then they just played sloppy baseball with a lead. They were bad on the base paths. And it came back to bite them. And then they made a bad defensive play from Alvarez, throwing behind the runner, which is something you just can't do. That's baseball 101. You do not throw behind the runner there and allow him the opportunity to get the base in front. Worst comes to, like, you should, if you watch the play, it's a ball in the dirt that kind of bounces over his head. He can't find it right away, and it feels like he panics. He picks up the ball, sees the runner going back to second, and just throws it instead of realizing he's so far off the base that I can run to him a little bit. Or worst case scenario, if I'm confused, throw to third and I'll run him back to second. I'd rather have it be status quo and nothing changes as opposed to the runner at third, which is a disaster in extra innings, and they get the sacrifice fly after the walk, and the Mets blow a 4-1 lead in the eighth and lose the first game of a series to the Atlanta Braves in a very heartbreaking fashion, and which is very familiar with these two opponents in that building. And off of game 161 last year, the first game of that doubleheader, you were hoping when you add that game, you add how bad the Braves have been all year, you add the idea the Mets were coming off a three-game losing streak, you were hoping this was going to be different. They're up 4-1 in the game, and you're hoping that this is the beginning of dominance over the Atlanta Braves. And hey, still might be. Go out and beat up Chris Sale. But you know the offense has got to be better for the Mets too. I know they score four runs in this game, but then they do nothing after the fifth inning. And right now they've still struggled with runners in scoring position. You know the pitching staff is going to resort back to the mean a little bit. They're now missing Senga for at least a month. McGill, earlier in the day, we find out, is going to the IL. Not that that's a killer injury. Let's be totally honest. It's not a killer injury, right? If you were one of the Met fans who thought Montas wasn't a killer injury, you can't really complain all that much about McGill going on the IL. He's been bad. Now, you could argue part of the reason he was so bad in his last start was he was feeling this elbow injury, which he said he was, throwing sliders and breaking balls. But he's been bad. You've got Blackburn, who's been good in the rotation, bad in the bullpen, being able to step in. You've got Manaea coming back relatively soon from rehab assignment because you're only allowed to do that for so long. Eventually, the clock's going to run out, and they're going to have to bring him back to the Mets rotation. And, you know, ultimately, it's not a killer injury, but right now it hurts the depth a little bit, and you're seeing Griffin Canning come back to earth. You're seeing, you know, now Blackburn's going to be thrusted into a big-time spot. You're missing Kodai Senga. And Clay Holmes, still very good, had a little tough time recovering from a start against Colorado. Who knows how he feels after this one? They're not going to tell you. He might be on a pitch count again at the end of this series, so who knows? Right now, the pitching is going to, it's hard to imagine it was going to be this dominant of a rotation, 1-5, the entire year. This offense is going to have to step up and be better than it's been. They're going to have to do better with runners in scoring position. They're going to have to carry the team for a while. And hopefully they don't look like they're managed by Aaron Boone very often. Hopefully it was just last night. And they get back to their winning ways, but they're going to have to do it against Chris Sale later today. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Tommy in Astoria. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Before I make my med point, you're going to do the show from the Javits Center this
Saturday? I am, yes. Saturday morning, 9 to 1 p.m., I will be live at the Javits Center for Fanatics Day, Fanatics Fest. It should be fun.
Yeah, I'm going to be there. Hopefully I'll get a chance to come over and meet
you. That would be great. Yeah, come say hello.
Would you be sticking around a little bit?
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm bringing the whole family down, have a little fun,
nice.
See some players. So, yes, so should be... I just listened to Evan. He's going to do a live Rigor Bronya at the same time. So I don't know where we're going to sit. I don't know where he's going to have find his room because, damn it, I'm on the fan, Evan. Go your podcast somewhere else. But, I'm definitely looking forward to it. It should be fun. Saturday morning, I will be live from Fanatics Fest.
Yeah, my kids got me, for Father's Day, got me a photo op of Mendoza because I'm a big fan.
Oh, that's awesome.
Mendoza, so I get a picture with you. That's a win-win.
Absolutely. You won't have to spend any money. I promise. I won't charge you.
I was going to say, you're...
I won't charge you for the picture.
Oh, that's great. Oh, man, looking forward to that. I look forward to meeting you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you want me to smile, it's $100.
Yes. If you want to smile, right?
Yeah, if you want to smile, it's a hundy.
If I take a video of you singing, can we do a little Mac the Knife? That's what's
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I was a little worked up about the game time, but Fleeks is always good. Fleeks talks me off the ledge, you know, when I get
yeah,
all
look, it's
up.
A frustrating Fleeks loss, but it's not the end of the world.
Yeah,
it's a frustrating loss, though. There's no doubt.
I didn't, again, we talked about the managing thing. I didn't have a problem with the way he handled the pitching. The young thing, I got to agree with. You can't put that guy up there.
I mean, he had miserable at-bats the entire game. I'm not even sure why he's still on the roster, and he won't be in a couple of days. It just felt like a spot where you bring in Marte. He can beat out an infield single. He could do different things. He's better with the bat. He's less likely to strike out, you know.
Yeah, the lefty-righty thing goes out the window. I agree. But What I said to you Saturday morning, the guy I want to see come back, and hopefully he does. Like, you can't put Vientos, like the Mets fans like to put Vientos in a group with Beatty and Mauricio. Vientos was on another level last year. If he comes back and gives you something like he did last year, that's going to go a big way. Plus, Soto's being Soto again. You know, Lindor's banged up with the foot. That's going to come around. Look, the pitching staff's banked up. We're going to go through this. But with the Yankees, as a baseball fan, as a Mets fan, I think the Yankees is a good team. They're a good offensive team. They're just going to a slump. I mean, it's just being simple about it. But nine guys do go into, I've seen it before. And you think, wow, how can nine guys go into a slump? It happened.
No, and thank you for the call, Tommy. And looking forward to seeing you. If you're going to be there Saturday, come say hello. Look for the WFAN booth.
Absolutely, Chris.
All right, see you then. All right, take care. It's frustrating that they've all gone into a slump, but I agree. Look, they've been a good offensive team this year. This is not like a bad offensive team who's now really, you know, I'd be more concerned if the pitching went south, to be totally honest with you. I'd be more concerned. This is going to be a big start for Rodon. Like, if Rodon continues to pitch poorly, if Williams was blowing games right now, if the bullpen, I know they blew a couple of games in the Boston series last weekend at Yankee Stadium, but, and Hamilton wasn't very good last night, only gave up a run, but like if the bullpen was consistently blowing these games, if Will Warren fell off a cliff, if Ryan Yarbrough fell off a cliff, like those would concern me more because we haven't really, like Will Warren was bad for a lot of the year. He's a rookie. I don't have a lot of faith in him, even though he's leading rookies in strikeouts. And Ryan Yarbrough's a journeyman who was this close to being off the team in April. Like, if those answers start, if that was the reason they were losing these games, if pitching fell apart, if the bullpen without Weaver and Williams was blowing games as the closer, like, that would probably concern me more than this really just absolutely crazy, disastrous, unbelievably bad offensive stretch that is almost so bad and so ridiculous that it's kind of a little bit easier to just, like, if they were losing these games 3-2, 4-3, and they couldn't get the big hit, I'd be like, man, this team, it's the same crap. This is so bad that it's almost like, well, I mean, this isn't going to last. Hopefully they just snap out of it soon because it's so bad. It's like, how could you even, like, it's so frustrating and so bad that you're just like, this is an anomaly. It's some sort of glitch in the matrix. So hopefully they turn it around, which I'm sure they will. And again, this has been a good offensive team. Mike in the Palm Coast. What's up, Mike?
How you doing, Chris?
Good. How are you, buddy?
All right. You know, I first wanted to say in regards to the team, all teams, the players have to execute. If they don't execute, that's never, ever the manager's fault.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, I've been calling you for years, other places. I can't stand Boone. I've wanted him fired for the last 5 years. He's horrible. And you know why he's horrible? He doesn't control game situations. He makes the wrong decision every time.
That's just ridiculous.
Let me explain to you. Last night, you mentioned you had only one problem. The LeMahieu take off the bunt situation.
That was 2 nights ago, yes.
Okay. Yeah, two nights ago, I'm sorry.
That's all
right. Yeah, I listened to you, but I call you a couple
times. And it's in the morning. It's confusing. If you haven't gone to sleep, it was tonight. Yeah. But just so I can keep where we are, it was 2 nights ago, yes.
I want to use that game as an example.
Sure.
And then you could apply it to whatever else you want. So his biggest mistake was the ninth inning. It's a 0-0 score.
Yeah.
You get the lead-off double.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Here's where Boone, an example, he doesn't control the game situations. It proves it. You're supposed to bunt the guy to third base.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what. You know why? Because you got a safety net. It's the bottom of the ninth. Even if your players don't execute and you fail to score, you know you got another at-bat in the 10th inning where the ghost runner on. So there's no way that you can not make a decision not to bunt. And then further to prove that he doesn't control the game situations, meaning you order the players. You take, you swing, you hold on certain game situations like this, or you bunt. Chisholm comes up in that situation.
You want to bunt him, yeah, in the ninth, right?
Yeah, right. You have to bunt him.
Okay.
You have to bunt him. And obviously, he doesn't bunt Chisholm.
Mm-hmm.
And Chisholm proves that he's got no guidance. He makes three swings, I think the hardest swings he's ever had on three pitches in a row.
What do you mean no guidance?
He hit a two-run home run. So,
now, first of
again,
all, yeah, that's yeah. A couple of things. One, the no guidance. What should he go up there and tell him? Like, hey, listen.
Let me move further. I want to say, don't swing hard. Let me prove it again.
You know, swing to just all make right. contact.
That was the ninth inning.
Yeah.
Okay? That was the ninth inning.
Yes.
My point is this, that he didn't get the order to bunt. Like, mm-hmm. Players need a manager.
Well, you know,
if
you want to bunt, yes, obviously you got to tell them. If you think the bunt is the play, I don't necessarily disagree with you. I think you could have bunted. I don't think you have to bunt in that spot.
I really don't.
I disagree.
Told you, there's a safety net for the 10th inning.
I don't care, but there's a safety net of every inning. There's a safety. If it's the fifth inning, there's a safety net of the next four innings. Like, what are we talking about?
The safety net is if your players don't execute in the ninth inning, then you know, as the home team,
I know. I want to score a run. Jazz Chisholm hits ground balls to the left side. Watch him play. He constantly hits ground balls to the left side.
I'm willing
to take the chance, if I give Jazz the at-bat, of him especially, and I'm bunting into a situation against Kenley Jansen where the next hitter is Anthony Volpe, who strikes out a lot. Now I'm putting the inning on the idea of Anthony Volpe, who puts the ball on the ground and strikes out a lot. If I bunt him there, I'm hanging the inning on scoring one run, and it's the ninth. I apologize, but I'm bunting him over, and I'm putting the game on Anthony Volpe, either hitting a fly ball or coming through. I'm putting it on him and him alone. Where again, most of the time, Jazz Chisholm puts the ball in play, it's a ground ball to the right side. I have a chance; it's a base hit, and I could win the game that way.
I started the conversation, Chris, by saying if players don't execute, they don't execute. That is not the manager's fault. So if Volpe didn't come through, like you just said, I would not blame Boone for that. I would not. Volpe's a starting player.
Yeah, but you have to have
confidence.
Yeah, but you have to have a good feel confidence for what you guys are good at. I'm just saying. I'm not saying you can't bunt them there. I'm just saying I don't think you absolutely have to in that spot. Many people disagree
with
me.
Let me move on to the next scenario. Yeah. The tenth inning where you have this, you have the problem with LeMahieu. He bunts on the first pitch.
Yeah.
I don't think Boone ordered that bunt.
Yes, he did.
Why? I don't think Boone took off the bunt on second one. Again, he did not.
He did. He said in the post game.
You even explained. There's
he said
no
in the post game. He said in the post game. He said after the first attempt.
In the post game, that means nothing. I want to know why. Did you buy that story? You told me you for the life of you, you just can't understand why he would take the bunt off. You bunt until you get two strikes.
I agree.
You can take the bunt off.
I know.
All right. So that's number two. So what I think is LeMahieu. Again, I tried to say to you, and I know I'm talking long. Just quickly, last thing. It proves that the players, they need the manager to have their back to make these decisions.
He has nothing but their back. I'm sorry. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. They need a manager to what? To execute? You just said if they don't execute, you agree. You think they have to bunt in a spot. They don't. So just say, I disagree with them. Don't say the team needs this and the players need that. You're just talking nonsense. You disagree with a decision. That's it. Don't tell me what you think the players need. They need this guiding hand, or otherwise they're clueless. Like the idea that not bunting Jazz guarantees Jazz has a bad at bat, that he can't get a good pitch and try and rip a ground ball to the right side, which moves the runner over even if there's an out, but it also gives him a chance for a base hit to win the game, as opposed to putting the game on Anthony Volpe coming through against a tough right-handed pitcher when he strikes out and hits ground balls. That's what Anthony Volpe does. So I don't love putting the game on him in that inning. I don't mind taking the chance of letting Jazz swing with who ends up with three hits in the game, and he's been hitting like 400 since he's come back from injury. I don't hate it. You can bunt it. I totally agree. You could. Absolutely, you could. I don't hate not bunting him there. I don't hate it. And he said in the post game that they gave him the bunt after the first failed bunt attempt. He leaves it up to LeMahieu to read the defense and go on his instinct. And I disagree with that. I'm with you. He bunts until there's two strikes. LeMahieu the opportunity to not bunt there. I hate that. Totally agree. And if your next point was the Volpe swinging at the first pitch and not giving him the take sign, I completely disagree with you. Completely disagree. I'm not giving a guy a take sign with the bases loaded. I'm not. He's got to do a better job of the swing he actually had was atrocious. He's got to be better. But I'm not saying go up there and you cannot swing at the first pitch. I disagree. 888-808-1019. Quick break. It proves it that the players need a guiding hand. Get the hell out of here. You disagree with a call. That's it. Just say you disagree with it.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.